This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
We are joined by Dr. Takadu Mamashele, who is responsible for medical legal investigation of unnatural deaths. This includes accidents, suicides, and murder cases or deaths that are suspicious and reported to the SAPS for investigation. He has been responsible to manage all mass fatalities in the province, including the recent complicated Botswana bus crash, as the leader who provided all the technical advices to both countries in ensuring that there was timely and dignified repatriation of the deceased persons so that the families and the country could get the necessary closure. He does forensic pathology. You know, myself and the team, we tried to gather enough research regarding that. But we get to explore him and his profession for today's Monday Motivation. Dr. Takadu Mamashele, welcome to Capricorn Drive.
Thank you very much, Dee, and good afternoon to the listeners, to the people of Limpopo.
I just want to say, because you've got such a bold voice, right? So if you want a gig here at Capricorn FM, we have a slot for you over the weekend, you know. Yeah. We will speak to programming and management regarding that. So let us get to know you first, okay? Takadu Mamashele ke mang, and before we explore your profession also, where did you grow up? Where are you from? Where did you study?
Yeah, thanks, D. I'm from here, if I may say from here. I'm talking about the province itself.
Okay.
So, but basically, I was born in Mokopane, in the township Makwelerin. But then I grew up at a village, just like most of us. We grew up in villages. So there's a village outside Mokopane town, which is about some few kilometers. It's called Ramaroma.
Okay.
So that's where when I opened my eyes and started to see things. I started there. Then I went to primary school there. There's a school called Nkorisipungo. So I did my primary, that is the basic education part. That first part of it is basic education. Then I proceeded to high school. We call it high school. I'm sure it's still called high school, but it's still part of basic education. At SG Van der Merwe Technical High School, called Waho.
Oh, you're a fellow THS, yeah. I went to the same school, by the way, yeah.
Is it? Very interesting. Yeah, if you know the motto of that school, it says, by Tapelwa Kamuso. So that's what it means, and you are also here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, yes, that is basically my basic education background that I gathered. Then that's when I decided to do medicine. At high school, I actually did both streams that could allow me to do anything, meaning that I did your commercial subjects and all your science subjects. So I could do engineering, I could go and do chartered accountancy or BCom, and ultimately to become a chartered accountant. Mm-hmm. But then I debated and had a meeting with myself at the time. Ultimately, when I decided to take a stream of medicine, to say, let me go study medicine. And simply because, amongst other things, my late mom had an influence on that. I mean, I would see her undergoing operations, and I'm like, no. And there's also some guarantees when I looked at the profession at the time.
Mm-hmm.
To say, no, people will always be sick.
Yes, yes, yes. True, 100%.
Yeah, so yeah. That's when I went to Medunza. Then that's when I did my undergraduate studies. I did MBC HB1 up to MBC HB6, and I qualified as a medical practitioner, and that's when I proceeded to start my work and my career in the area called Bushbuck Ridge. They call it Bosbok Rand.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, it was still under Limpopo, remember?
Okay, yes.
It was a district of Limpopo called Botlhabela District.
Mm, mm.
Now, one of the things that one made one to go there, at the time, President Mbeki, if you recall, declared that area as a nodal area because it was deep rural, very poor, and nodal in terms of there were some benefits if you work there.
Mm, okay.
So I did my internship there, my community service year. At the time, it was still 1 year internship, 1 year community service. Then I became a medical officer. That's when I made decisions there. Because if you recall, if you know, Bushbuck Ridge is very far from here.
Yeah.
But at the time, my home is here, my parents are here, and my parents, their age, they were elders, and my mother's health as well. That's when I decided, no, let me go back home. But when I was there, that's when I decided to pursue a career, which I think is what you're interested in.
That is exactly what I'm interested in, because based on what you're saying, right, so you did take interest in the medical side of things, the medical field. You practiced as a medical officer. And at what point did you look at the forensic side of things, forensic pathology, and said, look, maybe I should channel my focus on that?
That is correct. So I think in my third year of practice at the hospital, remember Mapula Name Hospital, that's the hospital that I started my career in terms of work life. So you had a few in terms of doctors. We were junior doctors, I think about 3-4 of us, who were at the same level when we said we started internship. Yeah. There's 4 of us who started internship. Then we were tasked with huge responsibilities there of patients. I used to run a ward seeing kids, the pediatrics at some point. And I considered doing pediatrics. I considered doing ophthalmology at some point. But there was an opportunity because that hospital was rendering this service, which is forensic pathology services. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then I decided to say, perhaps let me also try this pathology route. Because if I may tell you, one of the jokes I use, that I was tired of seeing patients. So I said, no, let me go see some of these interesting things, because it appeared to me at the time it was appealing, because you will learn everything, new things every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are investigating, you're inquisitive, you need to open your eyes broadly
when you
look into matters, when you deal with issues that involves investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And I came for a in-service training at Polokwane here at the time. There was Prof. Butra, who was heading the department. He was the only pathologist at the time.
Okay.
That is 2005, somewhere there. Then I came, did in-service training so that one can be able to conduct autopsies, basically. Simple autopsies when one is back at the workstation, that is Bushbuck Ridge. So it started there.
Okay. And we are here today.
So
please explain, right? Maybe for someone like me, you know, what is forensic pathology, and what does the job entail? You can try and compress it. If you want to decorate it, it's fine, you know. But you can compress it, in a manner that we will be able to consume and swallow.
Yeah.
So what is forensic pathology? What does the job entail?
Yeah, I think it's important, D, to clarify it and make it clear for an ordinary child, a black child who's either at high school or at the university level, who still wants to make decisions. So forensic pathology, basically, when you talk of forensic, you know there's forensic audit, there's forensic this, there's forensic that. It's investigation.
Okay.
Now, pathology is the study of diseases, basically, if we may say. So what it simply means is that we apply the knowledge of science. Like you have said, I've done medicine. Medicine, you get taught about the human body, how the human body functions, how the disease processes are developing, how do they progress, how do they get managed, and. So it's science. Now, we take that science and use it for the purpose of investigation.
Okay.
Now, when you opened, you said I'm responsible for medico-legal investigation of death.
Yes, yes.
Now, medico-legal. Now, you hear there's medico and there's legal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you apply this science to law.
Okay.
Ultimately. Okay. So, meaning that there is an investigation that is conducted by South African Police Service when someone dies. And particularly the category of deaths that are due to unnatural causes.
Okay.
So when the police investigate the deaths, now we form part of the key component when it comes to the investigation process.
Right.
For their processes of medico-legal investigation, because you know when police investigate, ultimately things or matters, they end in the court. Now we apply our science to assist the court in coming up with some decisions, some conclusions, and administration of justice. So in a nutshell, what we do is we investigate these deaths that are deemed to be unnatural. And I'll explain what does unnatural mean. In simple terms, someone who was not sick, and someone who was knocked by a car, someone who was stabbed, someone who was shot, someone who was hit with a stone, or someone who suddenly just collapses and dies, for example.
That is unnatural. And I also, maybe in that category, in that bracket, when we started, I don't know if I made an error, because I also included suicide.
Correct. That is unnatural. Because suicide, it's someone decides to commit. So suicide is basically a manner, because in that particular case, when the South African Police Services investigate, they will want to investigate the circumstances.
Okay.
So suicide is the circumstances.
Okay.
Whereby Dinkomo is not responsible for death of another person.
Okay. Yeah.
But that person decided to hang himself or take a firearm, shoot themselves, or consume some chemicals willingly. So it was not an act of omission, or I mean of commission by another person.
Yes, it was self.
It's a self.
Okay.
It's a self-harm, if we may put it in simple terms. So those are the categories in terms of the circumstances. Your accidents are circumstances. So accidents, remember, you're talking in simple terms, motor vehicle crash. But you do have accidents where a person falls from a height, or a gate falls onto a child.
Or
someone goes into the pool and they drown. Whereby there's nobody who's held to be liable. So we form part of that process where the courts make those decisions. We don't make those decisions for the court to say it was accident or suicide.
All right. Capricorn Drive in the studio today. We are joined by Dr. Takadu Mamashele, who is a forensic pathologist. You know, we get into know what it is about, you know, and also his role in the entire field. How long he's also been practicing medicine? Do you have a question maybe that you think we should note? We should ask the doctor maybe later.
Yeah, I guess I have a lot of questions. I think, you know, you guys have so much, I don't know whether to call it resilience or you guys are strong.
Very.
You guys are strong.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of strength. And
so
conviction.
What question
to do
is
this job? I guess that's my question. Where do you get the conviction?
All right, no, we'll get the doctor to answer that in a short while. Here with you all the way up until 6 o'clock. Monday motivation. Today we're learning, man. We're learning quite a lot. All right, we're hanging out with Dr. Takadu Mamashele, who is a forensic pathologist. All right, we get to explore his job and what it entails. And we also get to know him. 079-899-6226. That is our WhatsApp number, by the way. So if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to reach out. You can drop a text or a voice note. Either is welcome. All right, Doc, we continue our conversation where we left off, right?
Yeah.
We've covered quite a lot of ground. And I wanted to find out also, how long have you been in the medical space?
Look, I've got 21 years in the medical space, registered with the council. Remember when I said registered with the council, I'm talking about the Health Professions Council of South Africa. So when I first registered as a medical practitioner at the time,
21 years
that
ago,
that legally allows me to become, to practice in this country. So it's 21 years as a general, as a medical practitioner. But then remember, when you talk about forensic pathology, it's a speciality. So meaning that after what I've explained in terms of completing the undergraduate degree at the Medical University of Southern Africa, that takes 6 years to study. Then I went to do my internship for 1 year at the time. Remember, it's 2 years this time, these days. But at the time, it was 1 year. Then I did my community service year. Then I did my 1 year of medical officer. That's when I made that decision to say, let me go and specialize.
Oh.
Because it's a specialty. So it's not a general medical practice.
Okay.
So that's when I then decided to go and specialize, and I specialized here in Limpopo.
Okay.
that matter. Wonderful. I came here and I spent another 4 years training to become a specialist.
Okay.
That enabled me to register with the HPCSA as a medical specialist in this field. Now that's it's about 13 years, if I may say, that I've been practicing as a specialist.
Okay.
But bear in mind that I've started the career as a general practitioner. Yeah.
All right. And I think we can also, in that regard, squeeze in this question from somebody that's listening, right? So this is on our WhatsApp line. It says, I can be academically okay to do forensic pathology, but are there any natural abilities that I should have in order to be one?
I guess this question is probably influenced by the fact of the nature of work that I've mentioned.
Yes.
But
yes, yes.
I mean, in fairness, D, like I said, I trained as a medical practitioner in science. But the key issues, obviously, you need to be willing to learn on a daily basis. That's one.
Yeah.
You must be a lifelong learner.
Okay.
And being inquisitive, because there's investigation that is involved there, and you must be prepared.
Yeah.
To deal with the various stages of a human body. That's exactly the science, like I say, is the science that we get taught at the undergraduate level at the medical school. But remember, it's a short period you get exposed. Even here, we are involved in teaching, remember here.
Yeah,
we are also involved in teaching medical students here at the University of Limpopo. Mm. So my department does the teaching of the undergraduates and both the postgraduates.
Okay.
So we also train specialists here in the province.
Yeah,
Under both the Limpopo Department of Health and the University of Limpopo.
So in layman's terms, no, there are no natural abilities. It is just training. This is just medical training. You just need to be trained enough.
I think your colleague did ask, how do you guys cope? And I'm look, if I can tell you in fairness, and I say this to my colleagues as well, who has impatience to say, who's the worst here? Sometimes, as a doctor who's treating patients, you see even gruesome stuff there.
From life patients?
From life patients.
Yeah.
So, with us, remember, it's end-of-life issues. But we need to pick up signs from those human remains. Those signs, when they say to you, the dead will speak to you, it's exactly that. Because we pick up signs that we will put in a report format whereby the courts will use ultimately for administration of justice.
Sheesh. Okay. Look, I'm happy as a DJ, brother. I'm doing my best here. All right. How long after pronouncing somebody dead does your job start? In the same time, and maybe after you answer that, I have a question related to this particular question also. So let's start with this one, right? How long after somebody's pronounced dead does your job start?
That's fine. Look, our job starts basically immediately once we are requested to assist with the investigation. So basically, the laws of this country, remember, they dictate that if a person dies of unnatural causes, the death becomes reported to the police by any person who believes that someone dies of unnatural causes. Now, the police will then respond to that call. Then the police, once they make their own primary investigation at that scene and end, they will then call my team. Remember, I work with the team.
Yes.
So they will call my team to say, we've got a death in this area, on this road, in this bush, or at this house, which we are investigating. Mm-hmm. So we start there. So my work will basically start from that scene. So without the police being informed or notified to investigate, meaning I will not work.
Okay.
Because I'll start my work when the police are investigating.
Okay.
That is the death scene. So ordinarily people will call it crime scene.
Yes.
So the crime scene is my first area of work. Then we move from the crime scene. We then proceed to the autopsy.
Okay.
That's where we do the examination. When you say examinations that are performed after death.
Right,
and remember, these ones are regulated by the laws of this country. Not all the deaths, because remember I said natural deaths. The laws also regulate those ones. But these are the ones that we deal with.
Okay.
So we will then, it's the autopsy side, where we do the examination, document everything, and then ultimately we generate a report. That report goes back to the very same people who called us to say, come and assist us. And it must be clear to the listeners as well to say that our reports, they feed back to the police.
Okay.
Who, remember, they prepare a file that ultimately they take it to the National Prosecuting Authority for decisions to be made by the prosecutors to say, are we charging Dinkomo for something, or is there someone to answer? or is it something that we can say it's natural, or depending on what we found.
Okay, okay.
That's when they now decide on that manner, the circumstances. Was it accident? Was it suicide? Was it a homicide? Meaning someone was shot deliberately by someone planning to do such, to do such. Yeah.
So, then let me throw this in there, right?
Yeah.
Somebody dies. You get a call. You start your investigations.
That is correct.
On the spot. So if you find somebody who maybe, let's say, died, and you discover them, or you get called after they are discovered 5 days after or 6 days after passing.
Yeah.
The process of decomposition, which I'd like to believe would make your job difficult, you know? And how soon does it start?
Correct.
The process of decomposition. And how difficult does it make your job?
Yeah, look, it can be difficult. It may not be difficult.
Okay.
And I'll tell you there are many reasons for that.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, when you say how long or how soon does it start, decomposition sets in immediately when someone's blood flow, I'll just put it in simple terms.
Yeah.
You and I, the blood is pumping, it's flowing, our tissues, our cells are alive. Yeah. But when someone dies, there's no flow, meaning that your body is not fed with what is supposed to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a result, depending on a wide variety of circumstances, I'll give you an example. Temperature, environment, was this body found in an enclosed environment? Was it the summer? Was it winter? So you look at those circumstances. But basically, I would say it starts immediately when the cessation of blood flow actually is kicked in.
Yeah, and depending on the nature of the death, that can dictate whether the job will be easy or not.
Correct.
So decomposition doesn't necessarily, okay.
Does not necessarily mean that once the body is decomposed, then we are not able to do our examination.
Yeah.
We still examine those human remains accordingly and document. Remember, we also have our own experts that we work with
who are in
an anthropology section, for an example.
Okay, okay.
Hence, most of the cases are cracked by the courts because of application of science again.
Wow. You know what? Because look, we are pressed for time, but I have an important question that I really do have to ask you this question. And once we get this one out of the way, I think maybe we would have covered quite a lot about you and the job that you do, you know? So doctor, you were one of the leads handling information pertaining, you know, forensic on the East Botswana bus crash, right?
That is
take us through that experience.
Yeah, look, it was quite a tragic situation. I think everybody, the listeners are aware, it was being widely reported. And as a team, I'll emphasize this as a team, because remember when I said SAPS, SAPS was one of our key partners, South African Police Services, because if you recall, the nature of that accident, you had a situation where human remains were scattered all over. And I'll just have to be graphic in terms of what transpired, and these are real life situations where we are encountered with unfortunate situations whereby the bodies, they got injured first, and secondly they got burned. Now remember, they're dismembered. So when they're dismembered, with the team from South African Police Services, we now come together and we plan. So the planning started immediately on that day when we thought we were going to church, some of us, because I was supposed to go to the Last Supper and other members of the team were preparing to go home and go for the church. And but then immediately we started the plan, and that plan was also revolving around the communication, if you recall. So together as a Department of Health and South African Police Services, we led that investigation process, because what was key was to make sure that these families, they get closure.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, in our culture, even if you have a piece of tooth or anything, as long as when someone passes away,
and
we're able to point that this person was buried here. So our role was exactly that. But of key importance, remember, it was involving the two countries, this one. That's another complication. We had to now work with the team from Botswana, and you recall the two presidents were here.
Yeah.
And they had to be reassured by what our science is doing for the two countries, basically, in order for us to get closure. And if you recall, at the time, remember, we're talking about human remains. But when the reality kicks in, when you have concluded the job, and we have now accounted for all of them, and they are now packaged in coffins for burial, and you attend a funeral and you will now see a face of a person there to say, this is the person actually who passed away. Naturally, as a human being, like the sister was asking here to say, are you guys not? We say, no, we're affected. We're human beings. But obviously, there are support structures in the system.
There's
a service, as a Department of Health that we put in place to make sure that the psychological support for the team that works in those kind of environment.
I can only imagine. That's all I'm going to say. You know, I can only imagine, as you are telling me, as you're explaining it to me and breaking it down, right? In my mind, I'm putting together those pictures, and I can understand that I'd probably have a difficult time, you know, getting to absorb every single thing. And at the same time, I need to apply my mind because, like you said, it's science, and we are there to use science to solve and help cases. So, yeah. Sheesh. That is all I can say, you know? And unfortunately, right now, we're out of time. But I would like to appreciate you for coming through. I think we've covered quite sufficient ground. I pray Capricorn FM grants me a podcast of my own in this very building so we can talk for hours and hours, because it is quite interesting what you're doing, you know? I know my bosses are listening right now, and I'm asking for them to grant me a podcast, okay? So thank you so much for coming through, Dr. Mama Shele. We appreciate you. Best of luck. I don't even know if that is something I can say regarding your field, but best of luck to you and your team. And I don't see if you want to say, something in
you know. Yeah, no, I think thanks for the opportunity, D, and listeners for this opportunity, because I think it's quite important that we educate our public in terms of some of the services that we do render, in terms of what we do and how we do. Unfortunately, like you say, the time was limited.
Yeah.
But like, I would like to say thank you very much, and appreciation to my team as well, because remember, I'm leading the team in all districts.
Yes.
So I've got pathologists in all districts. I've got forensic pathology officers in all districts. And I've got support staff as well in all districts.
Yeah.
And of importance, remember, is the Department of Health that is responsible to support the service. So I just to appreciate that.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, in the university side, remember, we're also involved in the academic development of our kids in this province.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of appreciating the support that we receive from all sides, from both sides, basically.
Great work that you're doing, by the way. Awesome work that you're doing with the students. And because I didn't know that you were involved in that particular field. So that is great to hear. Thank you once again. I can't thank you enough. We are out of time. Doctor, again, best of luck. And, you know, I appreciate the work that you do yourself and the team. It is very key. We get to understand it today. And hopefully, again, like I said, in the future, we'll get to speak more to our senior and other clearer here and there, you know?
That's fine.
All right.
Thanks,
pleasure. All right, that is Monday Motivation for today. Yes, we did. We dragged it, man. We did. Shout out to the team also, to put together this interview.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.